We have Karen Beadle, co-coordinator of the Capital District Border Watch, in the Hudson Mohawk Magazine studios. Welcome.
Thank you.
What is your history as an activist that led you to becoming the coordinator of the Capital District Border Watch?
I think the history that's most relevant is that I was a human rights protector in Guatemala in 1986. And I had been an organizer and activist for about 10 years, and I was working on U.S. foreign policy toward Guatemala, El Salvador, and Nicaragua in the 1980s. And I heard about an organization called Peace Brigades International that was working in Guatemala. Peace Brigades International is a Gandhian-based organization, and they were looking for a role to play to support nonviolent movements that were beginning to start to bloom in Central America. And understand that the landscape in Central America at that time was there had been an era of extreme political violence, particularly in Guatemala, where there were over 100,000 disappeared people. And so the first organization to come back after this huge wave of violence was an organization called Grupo de Apoyo Mutuo, which was a primarily indigenous organization run by mostly women, who were saying, we've already had our family members disappeared. What more can we lose? We might as well be out in the streets. And in the early history of the organization, several of the top leadership were killed. And Peace Brigades began this project of escorting the leadership of GOM in order to make sure that they were able to maintain enough safety to continue organizing. So at the point that I was in Guatemala in 1986, we were escorting three or four of the leaders of the organization, and we were providing an international presence at demonstrations so that there would be less likelihood of state violence. And so that was my introduction to Central America, is providing protection to individual people who were stepping out during a very difficult time to really begin to grow a movement in their countries. So it was a very inspiring and powerful time to be there. And I've maintained a sense of connection and continued to work with refugees from Guatemala and El Salvador in various ways since that time.
It seems in some ways that we live in a historical and cultural amnesia. How is there a connection between U.S. foreign policy in the past decades and the immigration crisis today?
Yeah, I mean, the United States plays a huge role in the structure, the political structure in Guatemala. The U.S. was involved in 1954 in a coup that overthrew a popular, democratically elected government in Guatemala, which really led to several decades of political violence, the worst of which was in 1986. In 1986, when I was there, there was a civilian president, President Cerezo, in a very strong military that was sort of vying for power. We used to listen to the news every morning to find out if there'd been a coup before we went on with our day's activities. So this whole era of violence that began then after the coup in 1954, we're seeing play out now in terms of when you have that kind of civil war and you have 100,000 disappeared people, even when people are stopped from being disappeared, you've got a legacy of inequality and violence, and you have a lot of people who've trained themselves in violence. So even in 86, when I was there, they began to talk about the wave of common violence. Well, that's now formed itself into the kind of cartels and the kind of gang violence that you see now. And literally, the refugees now are the children and grandchildren of the family members and other people in the organization that we escorted in the 1980s.
We're talking to Karen Beadle, who is the co-coordinator of Capital District Border Watch. Karen, you also are a psychotherapist. And I'm wondering what role your profession has on your motivation to do this work.
In May of 2018, when Trump began separating families at the border, I went to the initial demonstrations with a sign that said "Family Therapists Against Family Separation," which was just like a no-brainer in my mind. You know, I spend every day helping families stay together, every day helping families recover from trauma, and to create a landscape of healing and growth, right? And so at the same time that I'm doing that in my office every day, the government is ripping families apart at the border. And that gets very clear, you know, at that moment. It was very clear to me that I needed to be on the streets with my sign.
And how does the trauma ripple to all of us in the United States who feel like we're separated from this?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that's been so powerful about this is that it has touched more people's hearts and sense of this isn't right than many, many things that are sort of equally harmful. I think when you see a child ripped away from parents, there's a sense that something's wrong. You know, and I really appreciate that response we have as human beings to that there is something wrong and we need to do something about it. And it's a positive sign that we've seen people come out. You know, a number of people in the religious right challenged Trump on this, you know, and they aren't generally good on many of these things, but ripping families apart does not look very good to most human beings.
And some of the actions that you're doing are bringing people together to be educated, to have dialogue, to network. You have an event coming up on November 18th, Monday, November 18th, called Nowhere to Go, Barriers to Asylum and the Refugee Crisis in Mexico. Could you give us a short overview of what will be happening that day?
Yeah, I think it's important for people to understand that we're not going to be seeing pictures in the news of children in cages. We're not going to be seeing pictures of, you know, families detained on our side of the border because there's been a huge change. Trump has been successful in keeping these images away from the public. There are two main policies that he instituted. One was a Remain in Mexico policy that allowed for a trickle-in of refugees. And that policy was followed up with a secondary policy to limit the number of people applying for asylum from the Northern Triangle countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and to say that people who want asylum because of political violence in those countries need to apply in one of the countries en route and be denied asylum in that country before they're allowed to apply in the U.S. And so we're wanting to bring the community together under this current situation where there are 40 to 50,000 people trapped at the Mexican border, and to bring some powerful speakers here to let us know what's happening. So we have Sarah Rogerson, director of the Immigration Law Clinic, speaking about the barriers to asylum. And we have Ashoka Mukpu, who's staff reporter for the ACLU, who's been interviewing asylum seekers in Mexico. So we're going to organize the community to look at what's happening and figure out how do we respond, how do we have a heartfelt and politically astute response to what's happening right now.
And finally, it's very inspiring to see your deep commitment to trying to make a change. What is your message to others who are listening today? How can we all get engaged and take action?
Yeah, we're Capital District Border Watch is very much looking at, you know, how to make this real and how to do actions that can bring people in. One of the campaigns that we're going to be doing around the holidays is to send holiday cards to families on the border in Mexico. And so we're going to be getting all kinds of churches and groups together to design and make holiday cards that we're going to send down there, because it's so important that people not feel like there's nothing that they can do. We can be connected, and that connection is powerful.
Also, thank you for being involved in the Infiltrators, which will happen on December 4th. We'll learn more about that in the future. And thank you so much for being here and for all the important work you do.
Thank you.